Hello and welcome to our blood chemistry module, and we're going to be talking about the liver and the gallbladder and what are some markers that you can see on the standard blood chemistry panel and maybe a little extras that you can tell what the state of the liver and gallbladder are. The liver and the gallbladder work together with each other, but they also work in concert with the rest of the body. So there's some overlapping markers that they share with other parts of the body. And the liver, when the liver gets congested, there's a lot of contribution to cardiac markers and vice versa. So we're going to look at how these things, just because of the lipid metabolism, we're going to look at how these things play in together. So before we begin, this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's not medical advice. And when you're working with people, you just make sure that they know that you're giving them diet and lifestyle help to overcome obstacles and create balance, and you're not diagnosing or treating any disease. There's two parts to this. There's a lot of enzymes and markers that are indicative of liver. We'll start with these enzymes, and there's two aminotransferase enzymes. Well, what does aminotransferase suggest to you? Well, those enzymes transfer amino acids from one place to another. So there's an alanine aminotransferase, and there's an aspartate aminotransferase. So the alanine aminotransferase transfers the amino acid alanine. This is also called ALT, alanine aminotransferase. It used to be called SGPT. That's the old name for it. And this enzyme is found primarily in the liver, but it also can be found in the heart. And it's elevated in the liver when there's some oxidation happening in there, when there's some free radical damage happening in there, when there's some stuff happening in there that we're trying to protect, this enzyme gets elevated. The aspartate aminotransferase, similarly, it's found in skeletal muscle, heart, liver, and other organs. So abnormalities could represent liver disease, but there's enough other things that it's not as specific as the ALT. But generally, if these things are elevated, we're starting to think problems with the liver. And what I see a lot is people who are on medications, they tend to have these creep up. A lot of times you'll hear somebody say, yeah, the doctor's monitoring my liver enzymes because I'm on some medication. It's very common that they do that. The bilirubin is a chemical involved with liver, and it's the breakdown product of hemoglobin. So it's generally that breakdown happens in the spleen, and then the bilirubin is carried to the liver, conjugated with bile, and then released. So if the bilirubin levels get high, the result is jaundice. The body can't get rid of all the bilirubin that it's creating. And there are a number of reasons that could happen. There's a condition called Gilbert syndrome, which is very modest elevations, but chronic. You know, it could be, instead of the bilirubin being like 0.5 or 1, like it should, it might be up like in the 2s and 1.5s, then we're starting to think that there's some problem going on with the liver that needs to be addressed. Alkaline phosphatase is an enzyme, so it's a phosphatase, so it's moving phosphate groups. It's important in diagnosing bone and liver functions and can also be elevated in leaky gut. So when you have alkaline phosphatase elevated, you right away want to maybe think of the liver, but it could also be bone. And there's a lot of metastatic bone processes that cause elevations in the alkaline phosphatase. And so if you see very high levels here, you want to run what's called an isoenzyme test. And I'm going to show you what that is. Same thing on the lactate dehydrogenase. It's found mostly in the heart, muscles, liver, kidney, brain, and red blood cells. So we think of it as liver, but it can be a lot of other things. And that's when it's elevated beyond just mildly elevated, we usually run something called the isoenzymes, which helps us to identify which area this is coming from. The other part of the liver protein is profile stuff we've already talked about. It's not specific to the liver, but is suggestive of the liver in terms of the way the liver stores proteins and activates proteins and eliminates excesses, etc. Got the total protein. It's a measure of the state of nutrition in the body. So if you look at protein and albumin, it's really a good state of how much good solid nutrition is available for the body to repair and grow and make hormones and enzymes. We've got globulin, which is a group of proteins that are in the infection fighting mode. So the globulins will carry things around the body and try to get rid of the bad stuff. So we have immunoglobulins, but we also have globulins that carry proteins around or carry hormones around the body. So we have thyroglobulin. We have albumin, which is one of the major proteins in the blood, and it reflects the general state of nutrition. So albumin and protein are more general state. Globulin is more related to the immune system. Then we also do the AG ratio, the albumin-globulin ratio, albumin divided by globulin. Again, you know, ratios are like a quick glance, does it look good? But you can be misled into thinking it's okay when they're both low, but the ratio is okay. Then we have GGT, a gamma-glutamyl transferase, and it basically detects liver and bile duct injury. This is one of those things that's kind of specific to alcoholism. Now, other things can elevate it, but alcoholism tends to be the thing that comes to my mind the most with the GGT elevated. When the GGT is low, as well as when the AST and the ALT are low, we're thinking B6 because they're B6-dependent enzymes. When the alkaline phosphatase is low, we're thinking a lot about zinc deficiency, but also somewhat with the B6. So it may confirm a B6 when you have these other guys low. Usually medicine doesn't look at what's going on when it's low. They just look at when it's high. So now we have the liver and the gallbladder together. What kind of things indicate that there's gallbladder involvement and not just liver? Well, you can have the GGT high. You can have the alkaline phosphatase high and cholesterol being low, HDL being low, and LDL. Oftentimes when there's not enough bile, you're going to see the cholesterol, HDL, and LDL looking low in the body. So these are all the indicators. Now they can be high, they can be low, some can be either way. But when you see a picture where you've got a lot of these out of balance, think the liver and gallbladder being stressed. Think the toxicity levels being there. Think maybe congestion in the gallbladder. So you have a high glucose, a low BUN, low protein, low albumin, high globulin, high bilirubin, high alkaline phosphatase, high LDH, high AST, ALT, or low ALT when the fatty liver is just in early stages. High GGT, high iron. So remember, iron is supposed to be regulated by the liver in terms of storage and active. And so when the blood is high, then it could be that the body, the liver, is not taking that iron and putting it into storage in the form of ferritin. When the cholesterol is high, it suggests fatty liver, malabsorption, gallbladder stress. The liver, when we go into the liver in more detail of how it works, you're going to see that there's a lot, the liver is taking cholesterol and binding it with bile to get out of the system, right? The LDL is carrying cholesterol to the cells, the HDL away from the cells. And the cholesterol isn't in and of itself bad, but it's when it builds up and the LDLs build up. And when the liver can't manage it and move it, and the gallbladder is sluggish and it's not moving the bile through and the bile gets stagnant, that we get this buildup and this danger related to it. When the iron is high or you have hemochromatosis, that's a suggestion that there's some liver involvement. So a lot of times with working with people, really working on supporting the liver, not necessarily jumping right in and doing a cleanse because that could be too much for a person right up front. So rather than just like some intense liver flush thing, that could be very, very stressful for somebody at the beginning, but support their liver. Give them antioxidants for their liver. Things like hawthorn berry and burdock root. They can buy it. Teach them how to use it as foods to support the liver. Milk thistle. You can actually get milk thistle seeds and grind them up and mix them into things. I make milk thistle seed gomaccio. You can get milk thistle extract and you can put that in smoothies. So there's a lot of ways to just nourish and support the liver gallbladder. And it's a good idea to do if you're seeing a lot of these elevations and depression of protein, etc., on the panel. You're also going to combine it with your history taking. And we have a whole history taking for the liver gallbladder. And if you have high numbers there and you have a number of these that are elevated, you're going to want to address it. So I just want to say that a lot of this looks like, oh my God, there's so many and how am I going to remember all this? I'm going to show you a chart in a little bit that's really awesome for helping you keep track of it and for helping you to learn it. So it just isn't in all this stuff and it's confusing. Yeah, you can run it through the blood chemistry analysis, and that's going to shortcut your process, but I really want you to understand it as well. Okay, so we'll show you that chart in a moment. Look at this one. The only thing showing this person has low alkaline phosphatase doesn't say that they've got any kind of liver problem. It's usually a zinc. Everything else looks good on here. So this is kind of a normal lab for liver problems. We wouldn't suspect that this person had liver problems. Their numbers look beautiful and their alkaline phosphatase is a little low. So we'd want to get that person on zinc. There are two liver enzymes that when they're elevated may not be liver. They can be actually produced in other places. And when just because they're high doesn't mean that there's a liver problem. So predominantly LDH is related to the liver, but basically it's also in heart, red blood cells, white blood cells, lung, kidney, placenta, pancreas, liver, and skeletal muscle. So if we do what's called isoenzymes, we basically go back in after we see an elevated LDH and we say, well, what's going on? What's stressed out here? And we ask them to run isoenzymes. And it comes back with LDH 1 through 5. If 1 is elevated, it's related to the heart and red blood cells. So we'd be looking at what's happened. Is it part of a pattern with a heart attack? Is there some muscle breakdown, something happening in the heart? In LDH 2 is in the white blood cells. So is there some kind of breakdown, lysis happening in the white blood cells? Something attacking the white blood cells? LDH 3 is highest in the lungs. So if we see that elevated, we're going, okay, there's something happening in the lungs. There's some damaging process, some oxidation happening, inflammation happening in these areas. LDH 4 is kidney, placenta, and pancreas. Well, obviously, if your client is not pregnant, it's not going to be the placenta, but kidney or pancreas. LDH 5, highest in liver and skeletal muscle. So we can't always distinguish it right down, so liver versus skeletal muscle, but then we look at some of the other markers. Is the creatinine high? Well, that might indicate there's skeletal muscle breakdown. Are some of the other enzymes, liver enzymes like ALT, AST, GGT, are those high? Then it would suggest it's more towards the liver. And then you know how to address this, how to really help these people. And antioxidants are key in all of this. Then we want to provide specific support that's for specific areas. So like milk thistle is an awesome antioxidant, but it's very specific and targeted to the liver. And then we have alkaline phosphatase. Again, isoenzymes, and they just call theirs, they call them like they are, liver, bone, intestine, or placenta. So you do the isoenzymes, you see. If you do the isoenzymes for LDH and alkaline phosphatase, because they're both elevated, and you get that it's the liver, then you've confirmed that that's the area you need to be addressing. So here's a case history. Let's take a look at it. We have somebody with an elevated alkaline phosphatase, not terribly elevated. It's 97. It's still within the pathological, not outside the pathological ranges, but it's outside the optimal. Bilirubin is normal. LDH is 72. LDH is extremely low, right? AST is normal, ALT is normal, GGT is normal, but the serum iron is low. The cholesterol is normal, but the triglycerides, they're low. I would say that they're normal. I'm fine with triglycerides between 50 and 100 unless there's some indication that there's fat malabsorption. It's just a clue. So we're going to update that. HDL and LDL are normal, but the cholesterol HDL ratio is 3.2, which is high. So the HDLs are a little on the low end for that level of cholesterol. Now, if that cholesterol was around 150 and you had a 61 on the HDL, it would be fine. The triglyceride HDL ratio, look at that, is perfect. They're 1:1. So we're not like so suspicious here that the person has a blood sugar balance. Blood sugar balance, you'll see a skewing of the triglyceride HDL ratio, and oftentimes it's much higher. It could be 2 or 3 or 4. So what might be going on here? What do we want to explore? Well, we don't have high liver enzymes here. We have low liver enzymes. So we want to look at how is this liver functioning? Is it a sluggish liver? What's going on? With the LDH being so low and the alk-phos? Alk-phos is a little bit high. The only thing that's really a little bit high is the alkaline phosphatase. it's not high enough to run a liver enzyme. So this would be something where I would support the liver, I would support fat digestion, and I would give them something to help with that iron, some kind of herbal. I probably, at that level, I wouldn't deal with individual iron supplements. I'd probably go with something like Yellow Dock, something like that, because Yellow Dock also supports the liver. And then I'd redo this in 3 months and see. So that's the end of our liver and gallbladder.